Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
You know, I love sitting at the kind of the beginning of a new year. It is kind of one of my favorite times of the year when you get through with Christmas and all the busyness, and then you come into this brand new year and you get to look back on what a year you just had. You get to think about the things that went and were kind of involved with that year, and you get to look with a sense of anticipation of what can be or what could be when we stare into this new year. And so I guess it's one of my favorite times to really sit back here and to be able to contemplate what 2012 can be. In saying that, I recognize that when some of you look back on 2011, you're filled with a lot of mixed emotion and probably a mixed bag. For some of us, we don't have all of our family members here that we had at the beginning of last year. We've lost some people close to us. We've had a diagnosis, or we've had to kind of come face to face with a reality that we don't really want to face. And so I know as we look back on 2011, some of us are like, thank God that year is over, right? We just kind of want to wash that one aside. But then when we look at 2012, we kind of get afraid a little bit too of what will this year look like? What will happen in this year? What will come my way? So I know that the next 364 days could be a real scary thing to consider. But I want us to consider it through a particular lens today. And I want us to remember that it's how we look at the things that come our way that really determine how we feel about them. Honestly, if your desire is to pursue God and all that He has to offer, there's nothing that will come at you this year that will knock you off balance. It's really a matter of your determination to look at things through the lens that God offers you. So if your resolve is to experience God's perfect plan and to remain strong in Him, you can stare at even the ugliest of moments, the scariest of times, and proclaim God's faithfulness and His goodness in your life. That's a truth that I really do believe in today. Our focus for this morning is going to be on a single passage of Scripture, a single verse of Scripture. Today I'm probably going to share over a dozen Scriptures to kind of support it. But if you remember one passage of Scripture today, it's going to be one verse. Everything is going to kind of circle around this one verse as we start in the beginning of a brand new year. It's a verse that I think our children can understand. It's a verse that I believe the oldest among us can understand. But it's a verse that all of us kind of struggle capturing and adopting and making a part of who we are. Paul was writing a letter to a church, one of his favorite churches, I have to believe, the church in Philippi. You know, pastors often, and there's a couple of pastors here today, you can identify with this, pastors often have what they'll call a sweetheart church. In all of their ministry, they go and they travel to various ministry, you know, churches. Even as a staff member, I've been a part of several churches in my life. There's typically, when you talk to a pastor, when they come to the end of their day, a church that just seems like that was the one sweetheart church, man. Everything felt so warm and so good. And I think that when Paul is coming to the end of his ministry, long, long time ago, he might have thought back to the church in Philippi and thought, this is my sweetheart church. This is a church that really stood for me when no one else would. This is a church that supported me. This is a church that believed in me. This is a church that financially gave to my ministry consistently all throughout the years. And I think that as he's writing this letter, it's kind of a thank you note. I mean, if you read Philippians, the book of Philippians, from beginning to end, you kind of get a sense of Paul's incredible gratitude to this sweetheart congregation, this sweetheart church that he helped start. And so when we read these words from that vantage point, we kind of understand that Paul is just filled with just awe of all that this church has done and provided for him over the years. And so we come to near the end of his letter, and there's a single verse that just kind of grabbed a hold of me as I was thinking about this day, kind of filled with gratitude over the last year and thinking about all that God is going to bring our way. So on this day, as we bring conclusion to our Advent series of messages called Illuminate, where we've already talked about how God reveals Himself to us and how we are attracted to who He is, how God lives with us and through us, and how God has the power to save us through this amazing light. Today we look at the idea that the light that Jesus came to offer us provides. That the light not only reveals and the light not only attracts us to Him, but the light has this provision quality that no matter what comes our way, He will be with us and supply our every need. And this is the words, these are the words that Paul uses in Philippians 4 to kind of help bring all of this thank you note to a great conclusion. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'd love for you to read this with me. Will you read it with me? Let's read this together. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Can we believe this today? Can we not just read beyond the words and just really believe what Paul is writing to the church in Philippi 2,000 years ago? That no matter what 2012 brings, no matter what your ambitions or needs are as a family, as a person, as a child, as a young adult, as a retired individual, financially secure, financially terrified, can we believe that this verse still applies to us today? That we can move beyond just wanting to believe this, but to actually live our lives in such a way that this rings true. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Some of your needs are great. And I don't mean that you're a needy people. I know some of your needs are great. Some of the things you're facing are huge. I know some of the things you've already faced have been almost thought to be insurmountable, and yet here you are. Because God has already proven Himself over the years of your life to meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. But still we sit here and we struggle thinking about 2012. Fear in our lives sometimes about what this year could hold. But can we live it believing that God not only is interested but capable of supplying all of your needs, meeting every one of your fears, blowing you away with how He can provide for you? I think all of us need to ask the question, can God really meet my needs? But the reality is, yes, He can. The other reality is, yes, He wants to. He desires to. He looks forward to doing this. I've, like many of you, begun the process of writing down some things I'd like to accomplish in 2012. I want to share some of them with you. I've not shared them with anyone else. I want you to know that there's things on my mind that I want to see accomplished in my own life, and I know that they can only really be accomplished if I put them into God's hands. If I put them into His glorious riches and allow Jesus to work them out. First thing that came to my mind of things I would love to accomplish, and they are probably written in some type of order, but number one was to lead my family with greater compassion and direction, experiencing better communication, solid friendships with each other, and solid friendships with others. These are areas where we have got a lot of room to improve in the Bait Home. That my family would serve with greater compassion, see the needs of others with greater compassion, and that I would lead them in that way. I've got so much to learn about how to lead a family. And I want it to be a goal of mine to anticipate what God will do in us as a family if we invest in each other better. If I can invest one-on-one time better with my wife, with my children. Because life comes at us so fast, doesn't it? And we have all these great intentions of doing those things with our family, and yet we fail at doing it. So until it becomes something that we become committed to wanting to accomplish, we'll just miss out. I want to carve out more time and protect more time for each of them. I want to promote healthy friendships for all of us to enjoy. Healthy friendships for them and healthy friendships for me. Second goal I have is to preach with greater clarity and passion and enabling more of us to say yes to Jesus Christ and to embrace His transformative love. It's been almost 8 weeks since I've used the phrase transformative love. I had to fit it in. I want to preach with greater clarity this year so that more people can hear and embrace God's love. So that our altars might be filled with people seeking Him and desiring Him and people coming, not because we've got the greatest band, not because we've got a clever preacher, not because our facilities are really, really cool, but because God's Spirit is here and God's speaking through what we do. That's an ambition of mine for this year, to call us to redemptive decisions and deliver with greater focus, greater creativity, and greater love. My third goal is to lead our church with deeper conviction and an unyielding trust in the Holy Spirit, achieving greater vision for the future and those strategies that will help us succeed in that faithfully. We've talked about mission this year as a church. This year my focus is going to be on vision. What is God going to teach us? What does God want us to do? And how can we get there? My hopes are that we will allow the Holy Spirit to do this. I want to challenge our elected leaders, our ministry leadership team people, to really allow the Holy Spirit to call us to greater things. And then to establish a pathway for succeeding in that vision. This is no different than how any of you lead your life in your own businesses and what you do vocationally. Figure out what you want to do to succeed this year and discover the way to get there. And as a church, it's our time. This is our year to do this. When I was called here 3 years ago, I made the comment that I'll see a 3-year pattern of getting established, learning each other, and seeing what God is going to do through us. There are no more excuses for us. There are no more excuses for me. This is our year. What is God going to do through us and in us? And I've got big dreams of what God can do. I'm really hopeful that God will do them. I'm really hopeful that it's the Spirit of God and not some trick, you know, of what I want to see happen here. I believe God's got great ambitions for us, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Final goal I want to share with us is that I want to walk deeper in God's Word for personal growth and understanding. That I want to allow God's Word to penetrate my heart deeper this year than it ever has before. Again, a lot of room for me to improve here. So much of my time in the Scripture, I admit, is finding the right Scripture and trying to find support for what I want to share with you. And frankly, that just leaves me feeling like my spiritual life is somehow connected to my job. And not many of you probably feel that way, but I do. So I want God's Word to really penetrate me in a new way. I need something to get me in there all the time, to put God's Word into memory and allow it to just to penetrate me. Not for you, but for me. If I can be selfish for just a moment here. That goal has nothing to do with you. But I believe you'll benefit when your pastors and your pastor is in God's Word for his own personal development on a deeper level. And that is part of my ambition for this year. All of my goals for this year, everything that I've written there and everything that will come, I want them to be all done through the lens of Philippians 4:19, that God will supply my needs, that God will meet those needs, that God will direct my path, and that it will all be according to His riches, His glorious riches. You might ask, how will God meet my needs this year? How will this be done? And I'm going to give you an honest answer. This is how God will do it. I have no idea. I really don't. I have no idea how God will meet your needs this year, but I know that He will, and I know that He can. Because if we just open our eyes, if we just allow our ears to be more attentive, we can see how God is providing for people all around us. I mean, I was just thinking about it this week. When I opened my eyes to how God is moving among us and the people around me, I thought of a couple in their retirement years who prayed for a year for friends, who'd felt lonely on a whole new level, prayed and prayed and prayed, and God finally answered that prayer after a year. A simple invitation to experience someone's home, their garden that they had made, opened doors to new friendships that they have never experienced in all of their life. I recently heard of a story of a family who was not sure how they were going to pay for college. And things were going the opposite direction financially, and the bills were getting larger and the needs were getting bigger and the income was getting smaller, and God provided a family whom they didn't even hardly know, sent a check for $1,000 to say, "I want to support your daughter going to school." That's God. I was reading online stories of people, how God has provided for them, and a wife whose husband had been a CEO and then laid off and just totally left for 2 years with no employment. How on the other side of that great trial, she wrote these words, "We've had several great trials in our lives. And while it's difficult when you're in the middle of the wilderness, I've learned to cling to God. Because even if it seems like it will never end, God was with us during those times, teaching us, strengthening us, and I love Him endlessly for each and every one of those struggles and trials. When we go through those times, God is still there. God is still providing. He's still cutting a path for you." Do you know why we love to go to movies? Probably many of you have seen a movie this week. It's one of the things, like a family tradition in the Bait Home now that we've created. Well, Christmas Day, we like to go see a movie for whatever reason, right? We go to see movies, we read novels and books because they always end and they lived happily ever after, right? I mean, you go to a movie and you know that it's always going to come together in the end. You would think we would get a, you know, kind of a clue that that's how they write stories. And that we wouldn't get caught up in the emotional middle when all of a sudden things don't go right and our favorite character is, you know, left to die and we think all is lost. What kind of a movie would that be, right? If it just ended right there. We go to movies and we read books because we know that the endings will always work out. But when we're in our own life's journey, when we're experiencing our own problems and struggles and difficulties and antagonists, we don't have that same confidence that we're going to live happily ever after. And we kind of have these moments where, and parents, you'll identify with this, where we kind of freak out. Where the Grinch, if you watched the Grinch over the last couple of weeks, "I almost lost my cool there," you know? We have these moments when we don't see the end and we all of a sudden think that everything is lost because we've lost hope in what this verse is telling us, that God is still at work meeting your needs and setting the stage to meet your needs according to His glorious riches. It's in those moments, those real life moments, that we say, "Never mind, I don't believe this." It's often in those moments that we don't want to listen to the words that David wrote in Psalm 37, where he says, "Delight yourselves in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him." We don't like that verse when life is rough. We don't like that passage when it's dark all around us. We'd rather freak out. We'd rather blame everybody else around us for our problems. We'd rather bring somebody else down with us because at least we'll have company in our misery. We don't want to listen to David's son Solomon, who penned these words in Proverbs 3. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Can we adopt those verses in those difficult times? Can we believe that God is meeting our needs according to His glorious riches when life is dark around us? Can we trust the words of Abraham when he looked at his son Isaac in Genesis 22? And Isaac questions him. They're on their way to a great sacrifice, a great moment of worship together. And a part of worship in that day and age would have involved an offering of a burnt nature where you would take a ram or a lamb of some kind or an animal and you would burn this creature and it would go to heaven and that would be this burnt offering. And Isaac looks at Abraham and says, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, we've got everything we need, but where is the animal, man? What are we going to sacrifice? Can we adopt Abraham's words in those moments? Because he knows that God has told him to sacrifice his own son, to put his own son on the altar. And when his own son asks, what are we going to sacrifice? Can we have the same kind of faith that Abraham had to say, you know what, son? God himself will provide the lamb. Can we in those moments when we think we're about ready to lose everything we've ever wanted? Isaac represented everything that Abraham had ever wanted. Can we say God will provide even in those dark moments? You see, we can read those words because we know the end of the story. We know that they live happily ever after. We know that God did provide a ram stuck in a thicket just right over there to go get. He didn't even have to chase him down. God even put him in a trap. We know that God provided. But what did Abraham feel when Isaac asked that question? How dark did it have to feel for Abraham to say, God will still provide? Can we trust in a God who brought a drought over the entire world and looked at his prophet Elijah and sent him to a poor widow's home? This poor widow had lost everything she had already known and loved. It was just her and her son, no money, no income. She had just a handful of flour left and a few ounces of oil, just enough to put together a patty to make her final meal. And Elijah went to her and said, would you give me something to eat? And she said, sir, I'm about ready to make my final meal and die. What do you want me to give you? And Elijah says, give it to me. Trust the Lord to provide. And she did it. And the end of that story is beautiful because every day she returned to her jar of flour, it had just enough for her next day. And every time she would return to the jug of oil, there would be just enough in there for that day. God provided for her because she was willing to trust in a God who does provide. Maybe your jar is empty. Maybe your jug is about gone. Maybe you're not sure that you can see 2012 with any kind of hope. I want you to see today a God who will provide for you. A God who will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches. And friends, I haven't even scratched the surface of how God shows time and time and time again how He will provide. He did it for Jehoshaphat, who had this insurmountable army facing him, and God wiped them all out without even a strike of the Israelite army. God did it for him. Moses was fighting as well and had to raise his hands. As long as he raised his hands in the air, the Israelites were winning the battle. But if you do this for about a couple of minutes, you're feeling it too. And when Moses would get tired, the Israelites would start to feel the defeat. God provided the victory. And he provided two friends to come alongside of him to hold his hands up. He provided for the widow in 2 Kings 4 who had a debt to pay. And she collected all the empty jars of oil from all of her friends, and God filled them with oil so she could sell them and earn enough money to pay off her debt and live her life. God does amazing things. When we're at the end of our rope, God shows up and He provides. He provided one day as Jesus was preaching to a hungry crowd, enough for everyone to eat from just a few pieces of fish and a few loaves of bread. Enough that there was more left over than they started with, 12-fold over. God has a way of providing in ways that do not make sense in our own human logic. You might do the math in your checkbook You might reconcile it and say there's nothing left to give. But I can tell you from experience that God will provide. I don't know what your focus is this year. I don't know what's got you a little afraid this year. I don't know what's stirring up feelings of hopelessness within you, but I do know this. My God will meet your needs according to His glorious riches through His Son, Jesus Christ. I know this to be true. I stand on January 1st, 2012, believing this. And I know that next year, January 1st, 2013, there will be some among us who will be sick. I know some in my hearing today may not be with us next year. I know that some of your loved ones, your parents, your family members, those you love, may not be with you next year. This is the hard part of life. But even staring at that, I believe God will meet your needs even in those moments. Even in your darkest hour, God will supply your need. I've thought about goals for our church. How will God supply the needs of our church? I want us to be a stronger church of prayer. I want prayer to be more about who we are as a people. Not just here when we gather, but I want it to be a part of what we do as a church congregation. I want us to have a deeper dependency on God's Spirit and that our stories will revolve around His guidance in our life. I want to be empowered and sent to our community and allow our community to be drawn because we feel God calling us to go. I want a higher sense of volunteerism and people getting on board saying, count me in. I'd love for us to be a people where we are open to each other relationally, where we're not just a group of casual strangers gathering on Sunday mornings where we recognize faces but don't know names. I want us to be a group of people who actually get to know one another and share with one another. I want us to see our ministries to our children and our youth reach grand new heights of amazing things happening. I want to experience corporate worship with each other that is out of this world because it's generated from something other than this world, God's Spirit. In the video that we watched at the beginning of this message, there was a phrase that it nearly concluded with that struck me. Out with the old, in with the renewed. I don't know if you saw that phrase. We're used to the way we say it, out with the old and in with the new. But the phrase caught my attention, out with the old and in with the renewed. And it struck me, what would it be like if we really could sense God renewing us? Every one of us in 2012, what could be accomplished? What could we do if God really stirred our hearts to that level? What if we took the words of Psalm 51 seriously? Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. What if we heard the words of 2 Corinthians 4? Therefore, we do not lose hearts. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I'm going to read that again. For our light and momentary troubles are actually working for our good. They're achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, that's eternal. So many times our eyes are focused on all the things we can reason and understand and see, and that's when we get messed up. that's when we get really twisted. Therefore, Jesus says, do not worry saying these words, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For after all, these things the Gentiles seek. Those are for other people. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He already knows it. So what you need to seek is first His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all of those things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow. And once again, Paul, to this great church in Philippi, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul says, no matter what state I am, I have learned to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know everywhere in and all things, I have learned both to be full and I've learned to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer in need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we bring this to a head today, may our greatest needs be this year to depend on Him more. May our greatest longings this year be for more of Him and less of us. May our hearts worship with greater passion because we yearn for His presence in our life in greater ways. May our lives be changed as our perspectives and our focus on the path that He offers leads us into greater righteousness. Will we face disappointment this year? Yes. Will we face great loss? No doubt. Will we face hardships and rejections and will we feel all alone? I can absolutely guarantee that we will experience that. Will we question the Lord and His ways this year? As long as our heart continues to beat? Yes, we will. But I'm telling you, He stands in the midst of all of those experiences and He says, and I will meet your needs according to my glorious riches. These are Jesus' words. I will meet your needs. I will keep you strong. I will be there in the midst of everything you're going through. We're going to sing kind of our benediction today. We're going to sing our conclusion today. And as we sing, we're going to sing a song that was introduced to us first on September 11th. A song of strength and a power. A song that calls us to dependence and trust in God. The chorus says, "Praise the Lord, our mighty warrior. Praise the Lord, the glorious one. By His hands we stand in victory. By His name we overcome. Though the storms of hell pursue, in the darkest night we worship You. You divide the raging sea. From death to life You safely lead. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." It is my prayer this day that as we stare 2012 in the face, that we will do so not with P90X and everything that we can touch and feel and make on our own strength, that we'll do it with P419. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.